It's another edition of Acoustic Alternatives. We're in Grove Studios in Ypsilanti, the home of the podcast since the fall of 2020. And as you've heard me mention many times, they invited me. They said, hey, John, we want you to do a podcast at our studio. And I thought, do we need another music podcast? Does the world need more music? Yes, yes, we do. And so I kept doing it and I love doing it. It is a currently non-sponsored podcast. If you'd like to support me, if you like what I do with the podcast, the weekly playlists, which have included our guest recently because he's been in town playing shows, or even the radio shows I've been doing on Sundays, none of those are things that get paid for. So if you want to support me, Patreon. You probably know about that, don't you, sir?
I do.
Kieran Daniel is my guest today on Acoustic Alternatives, originally from Melbourne, Australia. Is that where you still live these days?
Past 2.5 years, I can't say I've been living anywhere. It's been constant tour to production to tour in different locations. So currently nowhere.
The home is your vehicle that you're in that day.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And the hotel you're staying in that night.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I was excited to have the opportunity to hear you play some songs. I've tried to sing along with all of the songs that I've heard of yours, but I don't know the words.
Good pun.
Thank you.
I have no comeback.
There isn't one. Would you like to start with a song?
Absolutely. Is there anything particular you've heard that you might like?
I've liked everything I've heard, so I don't think you can go wrong.
Well, we're in Michigan. I'm adjusting to the cold weather and the difficulty that adds to playing the guitar. So I might play something a little gentle to start. This is a song that I co-wrote with my friend Andrea Valeri, great guitarist in Italy. We wrote this song in Tuscany. It's called Pensieri.
What's the song called again?
So this is called Pensieri, which translates to thoughts. So just contemplative piece that we wrote together.
Very nice. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right, let's back up. You were a kid once.
Was?
Yeah. What did you do when you were a kid? What kind of things were making you happy when you were a young lad in Melbourne?
Well, I think it was the search for what would make me happy that led to the guitar. And the guitar wasn't something that I fell in love with immediately. I was in the kind of formal structure in school for a while to learn music. And it was the day that guitar teacher brought in an electric guitar and played Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I heard that for the first time. I got home after school, so excited, got him. This is the days of tape machine voicemail, and got him to play it through the phone onto that tape machine and started learning that song by ear, and then the next one and the next one. And that's how I learned. I actually ditched the lessons altogether and just started learning things that excited me by ear. And I think it just quickly became an obsession, a healthy obsession. And yeah, it just developed fast, I guess. Having a young brain that can pick things up quickly and finding something to latch onto was a fortunate combination.
How old were you at that point?
I think this began when I was 7 or 8. And
so there's never any other path for you?
No, there really wasn't, to be honest. Yeah, it was kind of set in stone very early. And I mean, I had the encouragement and the pathway to do it. I mean, I still look back at how willing my mother was to take me to bars back when there was, I don't know what the situation is in the United States right now, but there's no smoking in bars in Australia anymore. But this is back in the era where there was. So my mother being willing to take me into smoky blues clubs to play with the older generation of musicians playing blues guitar and doing that at 11:30 at night as a 12-year-old. Don't know why she thought that was okay, but I'm very thankful that she was willing to give me that platform.
Is she still with us?
She is.
She's probably watching this. Thank you, Mom, for giving
that. That was meant to be a compliment, not a bad mothering suggestion.
I wanted to thank her. That's why I asked. I wanted to thank her for giving us you and giving us the opportunity to let you be you, because another parent might have stifled you, might have said, oh, no, you must study. And obviously she saw the talent too.
Exactly. And then my dad too. I mean, I wanted to get an electric guitar and graduate from the $100 nylon string that I'd received for my birthday. And my dad is like, you know, this like we have that at home kind of situation. We went and looked at all these guitars in the stores and my dad's like, nah, I can make one of those. And we ended up making my first electric guitar together in his workshop.
Really?
So yeah, he was very instrumental in encouraging and giving me the opportunity as well.
What kind of music did your parents play around the house when they were picking? I imagine they picked before you were picking what was being played.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that, because we drove past Telegraph Road on the way here. A lot of Dire Straits.
I was going to say Dire Straits comes to mind when I hear Telegraph.
Mark Knopfler, like that entire Dire Straits Mark Knopfler catalog is in, like I know what nuance on each note is going to come next. Because it was, you know, growing up with it, it's, you know, on every car trip. Yeah. A lot of Americana, a lot of Jackson Brown, Creedence, Cat Stevens, the Eagles. You know, great instrumentalists, great players, great recording engineers. Yeah, I think it ingrained some good musicality. And then to arc back to the blues scene, like growing up around the older generation rather than peers my own age, I think helped with some core musicality.
What were you choosing to listen to other than Stevie Ray then when they were not in charge of the radio?
I went on, I guess, a fairly stereotypical venture into guitar world of, you know, who you'd expect, Stevie, Eric Clapton. You know, it was a revelation when John Mayer came on the scene, as it was for all of us, to go, here's somebody that's playing in that more vintage style but connecting with a younger audience. So, you know, that was a big thing during my teenage years. Other kind of classic guitar heroes, Eric Johnson, who I ended up meeting on a Tommy tour once, and he was lovely. Tommy Emmanuel himself, being the most generous human and musician I know, giving a platform to so many younger guitarists. Yeah, I think that's about the list from the beginning, at least. Then it kind of pruned out into multiple genres.
On your website, you are lucky enough to have a quote from Tommy Emmanuel, who was in 2019 listed as Music Radar's best acoustic guitarist in the world, and he's giving you props. How did that feel?
He's the guy, and I'm lucky to have him in my life.
It's a pretty good gig to have ever had the chance to play with him. How did you get that gig?
Yeah, we were just discussing this yesterday, actually. So I had, you know, through these kind of club gigs in Australia as an early teen, had a bit of a network, saw that Tommy was coming to town, and I put this kind of fantasy in my mind of going, I'm going to turn up to the show, watch it, find somebody that can introduce this. I'll play to him. And then I had this very lofty goal that I'll play to him well enough that he'll invite me overseas on tour or something. And it still blows my mind that that's exactly what happened. I knew somebody there that could introduce us. I played a song to him. He asked for another one, then another one. I played to him for maybe half an hour straight. And at the end, he said, come to Nashville with me. And a few months later, I was off in Nashville at the Chet Atkins convention, performing with him there and doing my own set. And it just, the momentum had started.
How old were you at this point?
14 or 15.
Oh, come on. Who does that at 14 or 15? Flies.
I don't know how to make sense of it.
Halfway around the world to take a job, essentially, even before most kids your age are thinking about going to work.
Yeah, it is wild when I look back on it, yeah.
Well, it's a pretty cool life you've had so far.
It is a cool life.
Well, much like one of my most recent guests, Will Kimbrough, you spent a lot of time supporting others besides Tom Emanuel, Michael Frante. Did you play with him or open for him?
Bit of both, actually. Yeah, he's kind of been the other mentor that from a completely different perspective has guided things as well. Recently caught up with him at his property in Bali. He's been a wonderful support.
I've had the pleasure of meeting him before a show. The station I used to work for plays a lot of his music, so we were doing like the sponsorship of that show, and just the nicest guy. His shows are so fun.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine what it's like being on the road with him.
And fun fact, first band that he had was a duo with Charlie Hunter.
Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy.
Yeah, obviously phenomenal guitarist.
Television drug of the nation. Stuck in here. I know those songs too. You opened for Los Lobos, which is a pretty cool thing to happen. Was that in the States or was that over in your part?
That was at the Forum in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay, so over in your part of the world, that's pretty cool. Sharing the stage with Jackson Browne, that's a pretty cool thing.
That was wild, yeah. I don't know, that's one of those things that, this is pure speculation, but I keep, you know how networks just intersect and I keep ending up friends and in the same circles as people in Jackson's crew, and it'd be really nice to reconnect with him at one point. This actually excited my father to no end because we were both playing at this blues festival, Byron Bay Blues and Roots Festival in Australia, and we ended up at the end of the festival in kind of this collaborative thing with Michael Frandy as well, all on the one stage. And as we were both waiting to go on, Jackson Browne being somebody that was frequently played in the car as a child by my father, my father standing there next to Jackson Browne. We ended up with engaging in the conversation. Jackson ends up purchasing my two CDs off my father on the side of the stage. So I think he's probably stoked about that to this day.
I don't want your father to die, but he can die happy now. Because that's a pretty cool moment for him. Not just you, that's a cool moment for him, for sure. So all of the things I mentioned, I feel like if I followed the timeline online correctly, all that happened before you went to school at Berkeley.
It did, yeah.
So that's a lot of things before you even like go to what people call the training to be who you are. You're already trained. You've already had the road experience. Why did you decide to go ahead and go to school? I mean, at this point, do you need it?
Well, Michael's direct opinion was no. He said you don't necessarily need to go to Berkeley right now, but if it's a way to get over to the States and engage with the community, the musical community over there more, probably a good idea. So I'd just come off a run of a few tours. I'd done Italy, I did Japan, and then I did a US run with Tommy. And it was on that run that there's a venue in Boston, the Regatta Bar that I'm playing on April 18. That was the venue in Boston that I performed with Tommy, and the admissions officer from Berkeley came and gave me my acceptance at that gig.
Nice.
And so, yeah, a month after that US tour with Tom, moved over to Boston, started studying contemporary writing and production at Berkeley.
It's a pretty good path.
Good path, yeah.
My guest today on Acoustic Alternatives is Kieran Daniel. He is a guitar player that has no home at the moment. Apparently, the home is the road.
At the moment, yeah.
We are at Grove Studios in Ypsilanti, the home of the podcast for the last, we'll just call it 4 years or round it around. If you're a local musician in the Metro Detroit, Ann Arbor area, this is a great place to practice. Get out of the garage and get into the studio is what they say.
It's a good spot.
24/7 operation. You can rent it at your leisure and use the space as you like. Make a lot of noise. There's actually a little production going on in the room next to us. They're mixing down some vocals they just recorded. So that's something you can use the studio for. Meanwhile, every now and then there's a podcast here, and I've got a guest who's going to play another song. Introduce this next track you're going to play.
I think I'll play a song that I would have written in that first era of my career. Latin influenced. It's called Sangria. It's gone through multiple versions since then, but we'll give it a go. This nuanced guitar playing in the cold is definitely a challenge, so we'll see how we go.
Called Sangria on Acoustic Alternatives. Kieran Daniel is my guest, and I have to ask, how does one name an instrumental?
It's a lot more of a natural and authentic process these days. So I think there's been kind of two eras in this solo writing. There was when I was young and I didn't have experience in the world, and I would essentially come up with these kind of fantasy situations or locations or narratives in different locations. For instance, there's a song that I play called Bootleg Escapade where I was just picturing kind of Prohibition era film noir gangsters kind of thing, and I wanted to articulate that in a song. So that's where I would come up with the title to fit that scene. These days, I think my life is naturally quite adventurous. There seems to always be a fair degree of drama and a lot of travel and a lot of unique locations. So there are genuine experiences and places and moments to draw on. I name a lot of songs after locations where these things have occurred. And sometimes it's a bit more evocative. For instance, the title of the upcoming album, it's called Like the Night Itself. So in a nutshell, my favorite film is a film called Paris Blues. Post-war Sidney Poitier, Paul Newman, two jazz musicians living in Paris post-war, playing an underground club residency. They have a guitarist in the band who they call Gypsy, who is an addict as well. One morning, Paul Newman's character takes Gypsy down to the docks. He sees flamenco guitarist down at the docks, fumbling through a guitar piece, unable to play. And the Gypsy's quite moved and he goes, I knew him once, Fausto. He used to be the greatest of the flamenco guitarists. He used to play like the night itself. And so that phrase popped out as going, to aspire to do anything artistically or musically like the night itself seems like a really poetic aspiration. So sometimes there's a very unique place that I'll pluck a title from. But there's been a lot of locations lately, just adventures that I've been on between tours that have turned into the song names.
Cool. I look forward to hearing some of this new record, maybe one in our last song, which we're not ready for yet.
You got it.
More conversation. I also, in my research, looks like you quit music for a spell. Is that true?
I did, yeah, for multiple reasons. So did 2 years at Berkeley. I kind of fast-tracked the program there. And then I moved to Paris for a short time with my girlfriend and then disappeared entirely for, I think it was about 6 years. And then I came back working in a collaborative approach, working as a songwriter and a producer and a session guitarist for other artists, mainly in the pop sphere. And then it's been the past 2.5 years where I've added this initial art form back to my mix, and it's kind of taken the lead, and it feels great to be doing these solo shows again. It feels like the most authentic version of everything.
Was this relaunching of your career the reason you changed your name? Because I know the early records are under a different name.
Yeah, they're under the name Kieran Murphy. So the name wasn't a business decision. It was, there were a bunch of personal things and which I might not delve into the specifics of, but coming out the other side of that and having life kind of ready to go again, it was kind of a personal defining action for me. People think that it's a rebrand from a commercial perspective, but no, it was a personal choice.
Maybe there was already another guy using that name. That's another reason you might have to do it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you go to Ireland and half the population is maybe a Kieran Murphy, so.
Probably.
Yeah.
There was also a description of some of your music, neoclassical. Now, I'm a pretty big music fan. I can't picture or imagine what neoclassical means to describe music. So maybe you can, since it's been used to describe.
I would reference artists like the Italian pianist and composer Ludovico Einaudi or Oliver Arnold, Nils Fram. These people that, I guess to the untrained listener, it sounds classical-esque, but it's not traditional classical music. It is kind of a new wave of a version of what feels vaguely like classical music. And it definitely is a big influence in what I've been working on lately.
Well, you started out with the blues as your influence. Clearly, you're doing stuff that is more acoustic-based, at least in front of me. Mm. I don't know what you do in your home, whether you have electric guitar stuff that you're playing there. The neoclassical thing just seems like another way to incorporate a different style of guitar playing. You named some of the people that were influences, but I wasn't hearing any of the people who were playing the same kind of, it's really hard to put what you do in a category, but there are other acoustic guitar players who are instrumental that are, some are still with us, some are not still with us, but none of them in my head have I ever heard described as neoclassical. So I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. So
it's an influence. I think it's an ongoing search for your own authentic voice, and some of that comes from delving into different genres at different times and then taking the bits that resonate most with you. And it's the artistic journey of finding out who you are, I guess, and that's an element now.
Sure. You've been on big stages, you've been on small stages, you've been in house concerts. What kind of audience is the one that lifts you the best? Like, do you feel better in a big room, or do you love being in a small intimate house concert thing?
Both. And I think I'm kind of getting to this era with this new record where there's probably going to be two versions of the performance, which was the intention, actually. So the intention was to compose a new body of work that were all solo guitar pieces. So they can be performed with just one guitar in a room. Intimate house concerts. Yeah. The venue last night, 20 Front Street.
Love it.
Absolutely perfect for that. You're right there in front of the audience. But then for bigger venues, the record has a lot of what I would describe as cinematic production on it. This is what touches on the neoclassical side of things, where it's filled out with strings and other kind of ambient cinematic soundscapes. So there is another version of my live show, which I've done only a handful of times so far, that has those elements going on live as well. And that's great for a larger venue, and it gives you kind of that weight and, you know, like you're in a movie theater going through some experience. Yeah,
that sounds cool. I imagine we will have to wait for those to come our way. I'm glad that you came to Michigan. Is this your first time to Michigan performing as a headliner?
It is. I've been trying to figure out if we came through here with Tommy years ago.
Probably.
I think we came close.
Warlock Music Theatre hosts him pretty regularly.
Potentially. I'll have to figure that out. But no, it's been great. I've been very pleasantly surprised at the reception. It's been really amazing.
That's great. Well, being a musician and living on the road means sacrificing a lot of things, like where you sleep, what you eat. You have to travel so much. There's a lot of things. What is your least favorite thing about being on the road?
There's a lot that I really love about it. And I think I probably lean towards enjoying the instability and adventure more than a predictable routine. But the least favorite thing, there's a threshold. If there are too many unknowns, I don't like that. I like a good degree of certainty of what's happening next, where things are going. All the basic components of things just functioning.
I got that when you asked me. So how does this interview go? Like, well, let's just have a conversation. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I'll lead you. Don't worry. We're good. So what is the thing you love doing that isn't playing the guitar? Is there something that you like? Do you like to paint? Do you like to go for hikes? Is there an activity that is not playing the guitar that is satisfying?
Yeah, there have always been kind of other artistic hobbies, but in recent years, a lot of more physical things. I am these days obsessed with surfing, and any gap that I get in my schedule for work, if I can end up on a beach surfing every day, that is my absolute ideal lifestyle.
I could see that. That'd be all right. I mean, I'm not talented enough to keep myself upright in one of those, but it looks fun.
It is fun, and I think it's one of those things that is it could take me a decade to appear competent to anybody else, but I'm enjoying the process.
Well, again, we're glad you came to Michigan. I know recently you've been to Austria, Australia, Greece, Italy, and France, but the USA obviously is something you've been doing as part of your touring. Where is your best draw, like, so far as a solo artist, not playing with somebody else?
As a solo artist, there's a different feeling in the US compared to Europe, and neither one is better than the other. They're just kind of different. There's a different kind of appreciation you get in each market, but there's a warmth here, especially playing somewhere like Michigan. And when I did that Midwest run with Tommy, there's a warmth, and having people yell out in the middle of a song, like, Australian audiences won't yell out mid-song. Like, if you do a run that's impressive or you hit something that the audience recognizes, you know, that was great to hit that mark. It's great getting that feedback from American audiences. It makes you want to deliver more and more.
It's cool. Do you ever go see music that is like what you do, guitar players that are the acoustic style? Do you have a chance to do any of that? You're probably too busy playing.
Very little chance, but I think this is one of the things that might have benefited me, is that I've never been a huge listener of other people in the genre that I play.
Okay.
I draw all my inspiration from other things and generally other instruments.
Well, I know we've got 5 albums, according to what I found online, that exist already, and the new one is coming when?
It will be this year. I need to get on with editing. No, it really needs to be this year. It's been a year in the process already, so it is time to wrap it up.
There is a tease video on your website that says,
There is. I hope it's okay to mention I have a campaign running with the Australian Cultural Fund.
Of course.
Which is a government arts-backed platform where it's essentially, well, similar to your Patreon. It's a platform in Australia, and I guess you can leave a link somewhere.
Yeah.
If people want to contribute to the funding of the album production, the Australian government will match whatever you contribute dollar for dollar to go towards this being finished, if you'd like to have a look at that.
I always link the artist's website to both the audio and the video. So as long as I can get to it from your website, it'll be part of the listing here.
It's right there on the front.
Are you willing to do a song from the new album?
I can. I'm just trying to think what I can pull off right now.
I don't know. I don't know any of them.
I might go for the title track.
Okay.
Like the Night Itself.
I would like that.
I have this habit of throwing myself in the deep end with the thing that is the most risky. So let's give this a go.
I appreciate that. Thank you. today, Kieran Daniel. I cannot wait to watch the video that we're recording with my friend Doug here, because I can't actually see your fingers from where I'm sitting, and I'm feeling kind of jealous of Doug. Thank you for doing it that way, even if it was a little out of your comfort zone. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no. I appreciate you having me here, John. Thank you.
How do you find the time to teach? Are you still doing that too?
Occasionally. To be honest, it's really only when I'm asked to. I have a few people that I guess like my repertoire around the world, and I have a student now traveling from China to Italy where I'm playing to come and learn from me for a week. So I guess some people just like this, the specifics of this, and want to learn that. I just kind of fit it between tour schedule here and there.
Well, I wish you good luck on this next record. That, if that piece is any indication of what we're in for, that was my favorite of the three you did. It was incredible. And it was such a pleasure to meet you and get to know you a little bit. I know you got to get going to your next gig. I just took a quick look at the clock while you were performing. I'm like, it's got to get on the road. So look for your information about how to find out about the new record in the comments of the podcast, either video or audio, depending on how you're watching for it. KieranDaniel.com, right? Something along that line.
That's it. KieranDaniel.com. Spelled weird. KYRAN.
You changed the name of your spelling of your name too. Is that just?
Yeah, that story might take a little while.
Another day.
Yeah.
We're at Grove Studios in Ypsilanti. If you're looking for a place to practice in and around Metro Detroit, Ann Arbor, this is a studio you can, there's a DJ room in here as well. If you're a DJ, you want to crank it up real loud and get used to mixing in front of people, or, you know, where people aren't around, you can make mistakes really loud and go, oh, that didn't sound good. But this is a cool space. I'll show you the rest if you have time. But, thank you to Doug for helping me get the video put together. And thank you to my supporters on Patreon. You help us pay for the higher quality video that you're enjoying today. Thanks, Kieran. Good to meet you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.